Well, good evening, saints. My. Have you ever been touched by the Lord? Isn't that great? Isn't it great we have a God that loves us so much that He makes Himself real and alive to us every day? No other religion in the world has a living God like we've got. A God that raised from the dead is alive, right, Dan? Wow. All right, tonight we have a lot of scripture for you. I don't know if we're going to get to them all or not. Since there's always next week if the Lord don't come. And guess what happened since last week? We're one more week closer to the rapture. One more week closer. That should make us all smile. We have I've lost count. We have been talking about going on to maturity. In order to go on to maturity, a very important part in our relationship to Christ is to have a love relationship with Him. That we pursue a love relationship with Him. Now, I know this morning, I'm going to pick on Dan for a second here. I knew this morning he talked a lot about love. And last week, if you can remember, he talked a lot about agape. Now, listen, folks, we do not coordinate our messages, okay? He had no idea what I'm going to do tonight, next week, and I had no idea what his messages were going to be. It just happens to work that way. And the Lord had been giving me this weeks ago. We've been pondering on it and thinking about it. But pursuing a love relationship, and we're just carrying on what Dan had preached about last week and this week, and maybe in a different way. And this is the way the Lord works. You turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all give you the same gospel, but they give you each one in their own personality in a little bit different ways. They present Christ in a different way. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at love. Now, this is really a peculiar word. How would you describe love? Sacrifice? Now, there's no wrong. I don't think there is, unless you give me something off the wall. But there's no wrong answer here. But somebody puts you on the spot and says, well, describe love. Can you see love? No, you see the effects of love. But describe love. You know, hey, I'm a drunk on the corner and you're telling me Jesus loves me. Well, tell me what love is. You said my wife used to love me and she got drunk and drove off with the preacher. You know, then you tell me God loves me. Well, explain love. Describe it. Huh?
Giving.
Iffy?
Giving.
Giving. Okay, giving. Okay, well, that kind of goes in with sacrifice in a way. Curtis?
I was talking about the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus.
All right, you still are on track with what Steve said. It's giving and putting others beforehand. But describe love.
The action of giving care.
Okay, that's cheap.
Romantic love you have for your wife, there's brotherly love, there's many types of love, but an expression of love is sacrifice, is caring, is kindness, the five fruits of the Spirit, they are of love.
All right. Denise. Obedience.
Okay, so.
Love
is a verb. Others kind of put their needs and desires to be with them.
Okay, can it also be a noun?
Usually a verb.
Okay. Yeah, you're all right. And I like this because you've learned over the years. And this tells me that different parts of this thing called love has stuck to you, that it's applied to you, stuck out to where it's touched something in you, sacrifice and giving and etc. I'm going to read, there is so many scriptures on love. And I want the Word of God to speak to you. And I'm going to give you two scriptures right off the bat if you want to follow along. The first one's in the book of Ephesians. And then we're going to go on from there. We've got a lot of scripture, and we're not even going to begin in this study to touch all of the scriptures. But the fifth chapter in Ephesians, verses 1 and 2, because we're talking about applying this thing called love to our life as we go on to maturity in our Christian walk. In verse 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him, follow his example, as well as beloved children, imitate the Father." I'm reading from the Amplified, if you're new, and by the way. "And walk continually." Continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it becomes a sweet fragrance. Wow. Over a page or two to Philippians. First chapter of Philippians, verse 9. Paul writing to this church, and he says, And this I pray that your love may abound more and more, displaying itself in greater depth, in real knowledge, in a practical insight. Now, love. A lot of times you hear Bible teachers, and I do this from time to time. I don't do this all the time. But we refer to the Greek. One of the reasons for this, and the timing of God's work upon mankind is just phenomenal. The Greek language, it's different than Greek today. The Greek language, and when the Bible was written, and why the Bible was written, is called Koine Greek. It's a much more precise language than English. Okay, I don't care what you think. The Bible was not written in the King James. Like the old lady said, if it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for me. That is not true. But, you know, we use the word love. I say I love you, I love this church, I love this country, I love my wife, I love my family. Well, according to the context, you understand what I'm saying. But the Greek, as Sandy pointed out, has different words for that. A lot of different words. And it brings it down more precise as to what kind of love the author was talking about here. For example, and forgive my pronunciation, A-R-E-A-S. Aris? Huh? Close enough. You ain't going to remember it anyway. This is a sexual type of love between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And we just say love, but it's a different type of love in the Greek. Next one, storag, storage. Yeah. This is the love for the family. I love my family. Well, in the Greek, they would use this word instead of love. Filio or phileo, however you want to pronounce it. P-H-I-L-E-O. This is a brotherly love. This is an expression or it represents tender affection as fathers to son. But it's never used to command man to love God. And it comes to the next one. Now, there's two words, apao and agape. Apao is the verb form. Agape is the noun form. Now, what I did, and it's so useful, and if you're going to study the scriptures, I suggest you purchase a copy of Vine's Dictionary for New Testament Words. Wow. I use that probably other than the Concordance more than anything. And it takes all the New Testament words and he defines them. Gives you a lot more insight with Scripture. And I'm going to read because it's a little lengthy here, but this opened up, even again as I did this past week, it opened up my mind and understanding a little bit more. And I want to read this. He says, love, noun and verb, apao. And the corresponding noun, agape. The characteristic word of Christianity. Now, I like that. A characteristic word. Not defining it. It says a characteristic word of Christianity, and since the Spirit of Revelation has used it to express ideas previously unknown, inquiry into its use, whether in Greek literature or in a Septuagint, throws little light upon its distinctive meaning in the New Testament. In other words, they even have a problem defining it. Okay? You see, I did this on purpose, and y'all did great. All of the were things that you used to describe love, you never did define it. You gave me characteristics and things that come out of love. You follow me? Things that come from love. Agape and apao are used in the New Testament, one, to describe the attitude of God towards His Son. And I got a lot of scripture. I'm not going to give you all these scriptures. If you're writing all this down, it's going to drive you crazy, okay? And I'm not going to slow up that slow for you. All right? The human race, okay, let me start over. To describe the attitude of God's love towards His Son, towards the human race in generality, and to such as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly John 14:21, which we'll get to that later. Also, to convey His will to His children concerning their attitude one towards another. And towards men, to express the essential nature of God. Now, this one's real important. Love is to express the essential nature of God. Love can be known only from the actions it prompts. Okay? Goes back to what I just told you a minute ago. Love can be known only from the action it prompts. God's love is seen in the gift of His Son. Turn over. We're going to look at this scripture. 1 John. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture because I want the Word of God to also speak for itself. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. by this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent His one and only begotten Son, the one who truly is unique, the only one of His kind, into the world so that we might live through Him. Wow. God loved us enough that we could live through Him. In verse 10 it says, "And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice, to the sacrificing offer for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for His justice against sin and partake His wrath." Wow. This was God's display of love in action for us. That He loved you, and He loved me, and everyone in the world. He doesn't love anyone any more than He loves you, that He gave His only Son to be that sacrifice. But obviously this is not the love of complacency or affection. That is, it was not drawn out by any excellency in its objects. Romans, in the 5th chapter, look over in Romans 5. Verse 8. But God clearly shows and proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. It was an exercise of the divine will and deliberate choice, made without assignable cause save that which lies in the nature of God Himself. Love had its perfect expression among men in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian love is the fruit of His Spirit in the Christians. This is one of the things that comes out of the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. There has to be love. If love don't come out and you don't love, then the Scripture says you don't have the Spirit of God. Christian love has God for its primary object and expresses itself, first of all, in implicit obedience to His commandments. There it tells us something else that comes out of love. Obedience. Self-will, that is, self-pleasing, is a negative of God's love. In other words, it's the opposite of God's love. Selfishness. Self-will. Self-pleasing is the opposite of God's love. Christian love, whether exercised towards a brother or towards men generally, is not an impulse from the feelings. It does not always run with the natural inclination, nor does it spend itself only upon those whom some affinity is discovered. Love seeks the welfare of all and works no ill to any. Love seeks opportunity to do good to all men, and especially towards them that are of the household of the faith. If you can't love your neighbor and your brother and your sister in church, you can't love God. I know there is many, many people out there that are very unlovable. Now, we could take off from there. I'm not going to. In respect of apao, as used of God, it expresses the deep and constant love and interest of a perfect being towards an entirely unworthy objects, you and I, producing and fostering a reverential love in them towards the giver, and a practical love towards those who are partakers of the same, and a desire to help others to seek the giver. Wow. That's what Vine says about love. Let's look and see what Jesus says. Matthew 22. Now, I read this verse this morning. 22nd chapter of Matthew, verses 36 to 39. And it starts out, as I said this morning, Jesus was asked a very important question. And he answered this this way. The question was, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now, Christ was repeating Deuteronomy 6:5. That's the first and foremost thing. We are to love God with everything we have. But here's the problems. We see, and it's so sad, we see believers with all kinds of problems in their life. Nothing ever goes right. There's always something wrong. They're always sick. This happens, that happens, this and that, it just continuously, all the time. Well, you know, Jesus told us some very, very simple things. Our faith does not have to be complicated. And there's three things that I always look at, and I've talked to some people, and I said, "Look, can you understand the simple thing?" "But yeah." You wonder, well, why you have problems continuously in your life? Well, look here. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? If you don't, duh. He told us something else, and this is so simple. And you all know this, but and I know this, but I say, "Bob, do you really know it?" Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what part of that do we not understand? Seek first. Not if you have time. Not if it's convenient. Not if you can afford it. Not if your leg ain't hurting or you can come to church. No, seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things are going to be added to you. So I look at the believer and what goes through my mind when they're crying the blues over and over and over. Now, I know we all get the blues. We all have a problem from time to time. But I'm talking about those that continuously, almost seems daily. I say simply, you doing what Jesus said? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your life? Duh. What part of that do we not understand? The other very simple thing that he tells us that we all get in trouble for, and yet it's so simple. And I'm going to throw this on Hamer back there because I just gave him a pack of seeds tonight, long bean. Hamer, if you plant them seeds, what are you expected to get out of that? Long beans. You're going to be shocked if corn pops up, aren't you? And that's a biblical principle. You will reap what you sow. You go out here and you live an ungodly lifestyle. God is not first in your life. Everything else comes first, going out and eat, going to Walmart, going to the mall, visiting friends, doing this, doing that, and all that. Oh, I just don't have time. I'm so tired on Sunday morning. And you're not sowing seeds of righteousness and seeking God first, and you plant beans and corn pops up and you wonder why. You know, you will reap what we sow. Duh. I mean, how much simpler? That, to me, is not complicated religious teaching. Jesus made it so simple that even Bob could understand it. You know? Love the Lord with all your heart. Put Him first. And be careful what kind of seeds you plant, because what you plant, you're going to reap. It's simple as that. You know, we know that God is love, and He ever will be so. And there's only one thing that will truly satisfy love. And you could ask anyone of any age, and the only thing that will satisfy love is love in return. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy a heart that loves, is to be loved in return. I'm sure all your men did not marry your wives if you just hoped that she loved you, and vice versa. Now, maybe you found out later on you were wrong. I don't know. I'm not going there. But at least at the time you thought that they were loving you back. Okay? Or maybe you were just a good salesperson at that time. I don't know. I was asked the other day how I got such a wonderful wife. And I said, well, in those days I was just a great salesman. You know? But, you know, in order for love to be complete, you know, love has to have love in return. If not, it's not love. It's going to die. And this is the completion of love. You know, we can command our obedience and we can force our will on others, but we can never demand love in return. It just doesn't work that way. And if it was to come that way, it wouldn't be love. Love must be freely given without any sense of coerced into love. Now, let's look that we are, as believers and as God's children, and I'm taking for granted that all of us here is a child of God. Because God pursues each one of us in order to have a love relationship with Him. And we need to realize that God is inviting us into a loving, transforming, forgiving, empowering relationship with Him. God created each one of us for an intimate fellowship with Him. He created all mankind. And in order for this to become functional and work in our life, the first thing a human being has to do is become alive. A dead person can't love. And we do not become alive, and I'm not talking about your heart beating. We do not come alive until the Holy Spirit energizes us, comes into us, and makes us alive by the power of the resurrection Lord. And then within that, then you and I are capable of receiving and passing on God's love. Comes and it goes. We pass it on. Just keep passing it on. You see, God does not want us to miss out on what He has intended for us here and now. But the problem is that sin causes us to follow our own selfish desires. And in doing so, we reject God's best for our lives. God takes the initiative to draw us closer and closer to Him. This love relationship, however, it's not one-sided. As you accept His love and forgiveness, He wants you to know Him and worship Him. To know Him. That same kind of knowing and knowledge that a man knows his wife and a wife knows her husband. And you don't know each other until you live with a person. When you live with a person, they know you the best. They have a knowledge of you. And this is no different in our relationship with Christ. We're to know Him. And have that personal relationship with Him. And as you accept His love and forgiveness, He wants you to know Him and worship Him. And most of all, He wants you to love Him. John, the book of John, the 14th chapter. John 14, verse 21. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Wow. Simple, isn't it? The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And this, I love the rest of this verse. And whosoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him. And I will make myself real to him. You want to know Christ? You want to know him as we talked about last week, as Paul said, in the power of his resurrection. Paul's telling you, or Jesus is telling you here how to do it. Love him. That's the hard. What part of that do we not understand? You want to be loved by God? Love him. It's so sad that many believers, they just think they'd love him. I think by doing something good or attending a church once in a while, that's loving him. Right? That's not loving Christ. And I've told you this before, and Pastor told you this morning. When you're walking around the house, walking down, when you're working, when you're driving down the road, tell him how much you love him. Talk to him. Tell him how full of grace and mercy and love that he really is. And also while you're doing that, thank him. Give thanks. There's been, and I know y'all have done this the same thing the way I've done. I'll get up out of my chair at 10 o'clock at night and I can hardly have the energy to go brush my teeth. Okay? And I'll go in there, crawl in bed probably 15 minutes before she finally wanders in. And I hit that bed. And that air conditioning is on. Lord, thank you for this bed. Thank you for this air conditioning. And thank you that it's working. You know? Thank you for this pillow. Thank you for this blanket that I'm snuggling up with. And if it be your will, just give me a good night's sleep. That's all I ask. But it's that thankful heart. And that thankful heart comes out of love when we love Him. Because we're recognizing that this is a gift from God. That this is coming from Him. And the more you do this, the more conscious that you're going to be of this, and it's going to become a regular thing. How many times, I'm speaking for myself, Lord, thank you for reminding me to thank you. Thank you for reminding me to just praise you. As I've crossed Little Road, my little buggy, to go get gas or what, Lord, thank you that I didn't do something stupid and get run over. You know? And it becomes an attitude of thanks, an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of love. As you realize that He is in you, He's right there all the time. And He said, if you do this and you love Him, guess what? You're going to get a bonus. My Father's going to love you too. You want to be loved by God? Do what Jesus says, love Him. Then God's going to love you too. He's going to take you in His hands and take care of you. Guide you, shield you, protect you. Not that you won't ever have anything go wrong, but I guarantee you not going to be a daily thing and constantly being worried and upset and physically down and problem after problem after problem after problem. Because if you love Him, He says, Father's going to love you too. And He's going to keep you. Amen. All right, next week, and I got it for this week. Hey, I got 3 more pages. Y'all want to stay till about midnight? I don't. Next week, we're going to love it. Look at obedience and love. Because this is one of the major things that comes out of love, is obedience. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we have not the words to say thank you for your love. And the feeling that we get from your Holy Spirit to just to begin to just get a little nibble of what it's like to be loved by God Almighty. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us hints. You've told us things, Lord, that we can grasp to, we can hold to begin to understand your love. But Lord, just thank you for it. And love, and Lord, may we all learn in our own way to love you back, adore you, and give you worship and praise and honor, and give you thanks for your giving us that you have given us so much. In Christ's name, amen.